Remembering Kobe Bryant through the arts, and perhaps one of our greatest muralists of our times, is Robert Vargas of Los Angeles. And if you go downtown, you'll see a mural in the works on a high rise. It's going to be a great project unveiled in the summer here in Los Angeles. And I think we're going to add a famous name to that. Am I right, Robert?
Absolutely.
Is his name Kobe Bryant?
Kobe Bryant. I'm adding him. Actually, Kobe was someone that I wanted to add to this mural since its inception. The mural is it's entitled Angelus, and the mural really celebrates why we live and love here in Los Angeles. And I'm using contemporaries to include in this mural as a way of celebrating our city. So
let me just paint this picture because I've driven by to see it for myself. And if you drive by, you see you on a scaffolding, they call it. Is that right?
Yeah. It's a window washer stage.
So window
hanging off the roof.
Painting on the wall of a high rise. How many stories?
It's about 14.
Okay. Do you ever get nervous up there? Because you're pretty far up there.
I am. Honestly, It's definitely a bit daunting, if you're not used to it. But at the same time, each wall has its own, you build your own relationship to it. But when I realize what I'm doing this mural for, who I'm doing this mural for, and the city, I have the city's support with it, then it doesn't seem like I'm so high. But you definitely have to be focused.
How many walls? You said each wall has its own...
Oh, like how many walls? No, I've done like murals all over.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're there how many hours a day on the average?
I'm there about 8 hours a day.
Up there, painting.
Yes. I spend more time in the air than I do on the ground.
I wish that this podcast could visualize what it's like to see you up there painting. And what's the storyline?
Well, people can come see me every day. I'm up there.
What's the cross street?
Fifth and Hill Street. Okay. Right in the heart of downtown LA at the corner there, across the street from Pershing Square.
And you started when?
I started about a year and a half ago. And I've been doing a lot of traveling in the meantime. But real time, I say I've been up there about 6 months. And I plan on finishing it this summer.
It's a long project.
It is. It's a big wall.
Give me some details.
Well, it's painted without any grids, no grids, no projections, which is typically how you would scale a wall like that. So I've been working on it for some time, and it's a wall that is representing the city of LA. It's like a legacy mural where I'm featuring certain contemporaries in the wall, people like Kobe Bryant, but not as a Laker so much as I wanted to incorporate him into the wall as just a symbol of LA's perseverance, a symbol of LA's strength. So he will not have a Laker jersey on, but obviously his likeness will be up there with his arms raised. That was always going to be the idea. And it's so interesting that with his passing and the city coming together and doing exactly that, persevering and finding strength in each other's stories and each other's feelings for what he meant to them individually as well as the collective city. It's really kind of amazing that all kind of worked out.
Let me ask you this. So the arms raised, is that your own concept or is it from a photograph? How do you decide how to paint Kobe Bryant?
Well, now, and he was someone that I wanted to incorporate into the wall. I was in the works of reaching out to his people about bringing him to the physical wall and actually having him there, just the way I had Oscar De La Hoya, who's also featured in the mural, had him there. And I knew he would have got a kick out of it. He would have probably been like, wow, you're painting this. This is crazy.
That's how we all react when we see it.
Right. Yeah. Right. So I'm going to see that through and incorporate him into the wall. And the concept is my own, but it's also how I see him. I think why Kobe resonates with a lot of us is that he represents all of us in a way that bridges communities, bridges neighborhoods.
Let me ask you, are you, you're longtime Angeleno forever, right? Born
yes,
and raised, right?
Five generations.
That's a long time.
Yes.
Okay. So you are a true Angeleno. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Boyle Heights, which is literally about a mile and a half away from that very mural spot.
And you've been painting for how long?
I can't remember when I wasn't painting. Child. I never imagined doing anything else.
And if anybody knows the Downtown Art Walk, they can find you there regularly just painting.
When I'm in town, I use that platform as a means of kind of like my open house. None of my work is for sale on that day. It's literally me just opening up my studio, so to speak, or turning the intersection of 6th and Spring into my studio.
Because I've seen you on the sidewalk there.
Yeah.
You have a crowd around you, and you're literally sketching there on a piece of paper, right?
Yeah,
paper?
Creating work on the spot, doing my Portraits of the World series, which was generated or started right there in downtown L.A., and now I've been painting them everywhere from Tokyo to France to Dubai.
Average everyday people, you grab them right out of the crowd.
Yes. Yeah. They just have to speak to me, so it's kind of intuitive, rhythmic.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Kobe Bryant, were you a basketball fan growing up? Are you a sports guy?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Diehard Laker fan forever. And Kobe, I caught the tail end of the Magic era, and Magic was always a hero as well. And someone so polarizing like Magic, you never thought, wow, like, will we ever have another, you know, amazing, you know, player like that, but someone that really transcended the city the way and represented the city the way Magic did. And then here comes along Kobe just, you know, 6 years later after Magic retires. And he's obviously closer to me in age. So, you know, growing up watching the Lakers with Kobe was like paralleled my life, you know? So as he was going through things, I was going through things, and and you want to see someone like that win, you know?
Did you go to Laker games?
Absolutely. Went to a lot of Laker games. Saw a lot of those early Kobe Shaq years when they were winning at Staples together. I saw them live, and just an awesome, awesome time.
Did you ever meet him?
Never got to meet him, and I wanted to meet him through the mural, and I know that would have been something that could have happened.
Because you've met a lot of famous people. Can you just run off some of the names?
Can I just name drop?
Name
wow,
them. We're in L.A.
Christine.
We're in L.A., so
we're
name
in
drop.
LA.
Just, I'd love you to share some of your art stories.
Sure. Let me take the selfie first. Okay. I don't know. I've painted a lot of people. I've painted anyone from Kate Hudson to Kurt Russell I drew Daryl Hannah on, what is it, Good Day LA or Good Morning America?
Our morning show?
Yeah, the
Fox
morning
11.
Show.
Yeah.
Right outside the studios.
Wow.
Rock
musicians?
Snoop. Snoop, brand ambassador with Tangeray with him, which was pretty funny.
Music,
anyone from like Nikki Sixx to
Motley Crue
to Glenn Hughes from Deep Purple. I mean, Charlie Sheen.
So it would be no surprise for you to meet somebody like Kobe and actually draw Kobe.
Oh, yeah, no. It would have been par for the course.
So let me ask you this, and this is a question I've been asking all of our guests on this podcast, Voices of the People. Where were you when you got the news that the helicopter crashed?
I was in my living room, and I have a loft on the 18th floor, which overlooks the city. And the night before, on Saturday, I had stayed in, and I was having dinner, and I remember the fog coming in, and it was a bit ominous because I just remember thinking, wow, where did that fog come from? And I could not see the Intercontinental building. I couldn't see the U.S. Bank building, which is literally three blocks away. And I just remember thinking how heavy that fog was. And the next morning, I'm looking out the window there in my living room, and the first thing I remember thinking was, wow, the fog is still here. I can't believe that it didn't burn off yet, and because I still couldn't see the buildings. And
this is Sunday morning now?
This is Sunday morning, mm-hmm. And I thought that. And then got on social media. I was actually on Facebook, and I just, as soon as I, you know, swiped up, noticed a story, which I believe might have even been a Fox 11 story, that was just about a chopper crash, but didn't give any details, nothing, just chopper crashed.
Okay, let me stop you because I actually posted on my Instagram driving home Friday night. I'm a news anchor here in Los Angeles. We're off at about midnight. And I posted the fog and wrote, you know, you do the cute little Instagram story, thick as pea soup. It was noticeable that I actually documented that driving home Friday night. Yeah. And then Sunday morning, I also was looking on social media and I saw that a helicopter had crashed and just assumed it would be something we would cover in the news. And then I got the call from work to come in that we thought it was Kobe Bryant.
Yeah. I saw that. And then the woman that posted it said, I hope Kobe wasn't on board, please, no, something like that. And I clicked on the link, and it just talked about a crash that had just happened. And I remember thinking to myself, why would she think Kobe was on that chopper? And then my brother called me about maybe 30 seconds later, and then I kept going on Google, and it hadn't surfaced yet. And literally within the next, you know, couple minutes, things started popping up.
Well, TMZ broke the news on that, and I know as a news organization, you always want to verify something before you're putting something like that out there. So, you know, TMZ is part of, you know, airs on Fox. So for us, we got the news pretty quickly, and literally, you know, it's drop everything and come into work.
Right.
So you're doing what probably most people did. They start looking at social media, looking to see, you know, what's posting out there. And then you get the confirmation that this is looking more and more real.
Right.
Yeah.
I was, as soon as it started to seem real, which was very, very quick. I mean, it was, you get emotional. You break down. And, I immediately just, I cried. I couldn't, couldn't fathom it. Couldn't fathom it.
It's been so interesting for me to see how people have been so moved by the death of Kobe Bryant and really all nine people on board that helicopter. So many tragic stories, the out the bellies, the husband, the wife, the daughter, you know.
Right.
You think of all the stories there. Did you think that you'd have that kind of reaction?
I never imagined it happening. Mm-hmm. So I can't speak for the reaction other than I think for me, like many people who here in the city, I think I just, you know, I loved him as a basketball player, loved what he stood for, loved him as a thinker, as a hero to a lot of us here in LA, and as someone who strived for and achieved greatness, and we were able to see that journey, be along that journey. He took us along for the ride, and then to see him, you know, shift gears and then go into storytelling and coaching, and just be this ambassador that became, you know, here's this guy who was, you know, everyone else thought he was selfish and was all about just himself and singular, kind of, you know, couldn't do it without Shaq, or couldn't do it without, you know, wasn't a good team leader. actually ended up being like one of the greatest team leaders we've seen, and was extremely selfless and, you know, was an open book to the next generation of basketball players. And he, you know, was a great ambassador, not only for the sport, but for the city of LA. And, as someone who was a hero to me, I just, it was devastating. It was devastating. And I shut down for the next couple of days. I think I'm still grieving. And I don't think I'll ever get over it. And it's hard to, it's incredible that I have this feeling, you know, that it's impacted me like this. But I think one, I lost my father when I was 17. And, you know, I think about his eldest daughter and what she's going through. You know, I've been there. And at the same time, you know, you just, again, you know, the people that you love, your friends, your family, you want to see them do well. You want to see them win. You want to see them succeed. You're rooting for them. And someone like Kobe, you were just rooting for, you know, you wanted him to do great in his next life after basketball. And it was just tough to accept. And of course, then you hear his daughters. Yeah. Is on the helicopter, and I think those initial reports even kind of loosely said that maybe there were other family relatives.
Yeah, we didn't know. That was the first question. Was Vanessa on board with all the children with him? Yeah.
I mean, just devastating for all involved.
So, you know, you and I were talking before we started that in my 20s, I think it was in my 20s, I lost my father in an accident. So I know that suddenness. It was a scuba diving accident. So it was a bizarre one as well. You know, you don't expect someone to go scuba diving at a lake in your town and not come home. So, and I've talked about this a lot before, but that suddenness is such a game changer. Was your father's loss was an accident?
It was sudden.
It was sudden.
Exactly.
It's a game changer, isn't it?
It is. It is. Yeah. And at that age, you're just trying to figure things out yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, you're applying to colleges. Do I stay near home? Do I go away? If you have siblings that are younger, you know, do I stay for them? There's so much to think about. I ended up going away that following fall, and I think it was in part due to, you know, my father would have wanted me to, again, persevere and strive for my own, you know, dreams.
I know for me, and obviously I was grown, my sister was grown, there were no kids in the house at the time, but for my mother, to see my mother, all her dreams for their retirement, you know, changed, just to see her, took her about a good 2 years to get, you know, back on track and build a new life. How was it for your mom?
My mom was, my mom's my hero. She always had been. So she had a good support system, but she persevered, you know, and she's a strong lady. Mm-hmm. She's a strong lady. And my condolences to you. I know your mom, you know, is no longer with us, so.
Oh, thank you. Yes, viewers, listeners at Fox 11 here know that my mom passed away from cancer, which was a different kind of witnessing somebody leave us, because you do get to say the goodbyes. You do get to make sure you've made the amends. You share the photos and you spend, you know, time caring for them.
Right.
So for me, it was so interesting to see two different chapters of how things change for us, you know.
Right.
Yeah,
you know, so, I just drew at at the LA Art Show this last 5 days, and I drew on behalf of St. Jude, and I just raised like about $15,000 for cancer research.
Yeah,
that I donated.
So the LA Art Show was the week of
February 12th.
Oh, are we there?
February 5th. No. That's another art fair that I'm going
ahead.
To. Yeah, no, that was from the 5th till this past Sunday, the 9th.
Okay, the 9th. Okay, so 5th through the 9th. So let me talk about that, because that's when you did a Kobe Bryant mural, a smaller one.
Yes, I was asked by the LA Art Show. I mean, here we are directly across the street from Staples Center. And they had asked me if I would be willing to paint a mural there that would be shown to patrons that supported the show.
And let's just say the LA Art Show is not a small art show.
No, it's giant. They're at the convention center, about north of 400 galleries from around the world showing there. And I was painting, I was going to be painting live there. And they had asked me to paint this Kobe Bryant mural. And I, you know, I think they had thought if there was anyone who was going to paint it there at the LA Art Show, it was going to be me. And I obliged. And you could tell, I think, that I loved them in the mural. You know, you could tell by the way I even handled the paint. For me, when I think about mark making, I think about it as language. And I think there was my own little kind of poem to Kobe in that mural.
All right, so the LA Art Show, you painted on a wall?
I painted on a large wall that was visible as soon as you walked in. And Kobe pretty much stole the show there.
How long did it take to paint?
I did it in 3 hours. I did it pretty quickly.
With
but
a
you
paint
wouldn't,
brush?
All brush. Always all brush. Mm-hmm. Full color. And some people actually from Staples Center had come by. Jamie Maggio from sportscaster from Channel 2 was there as well. They were very, very pleased with it.
So your Instagram, people can see all of this on your Instagram. What is your Instagram?
My Instagram is at the Robert Vargas. That's the T-H-E, Robert, V-A-R-G-A-S.
Okay. So that painting is going to be obviously a smaller version of the mural that you're doing on the high rise.
Yes. This mural that I painted at the LA Art Show was much more intimate. And I'm still trying to figure out what I'm going to do with it since I painted it on panels. So it's mobile. I can actually take it somewhere else. And I'm in talks with AEG about potentially having it maybe be a part of the memorial or something. So that's ongoing.
What did you want to capture in that painting?
I wanted to capture his there's a lot of emotion in the eyes. I've always been very particular about drawing eyes when I'm painting portraits, and I really wanted his eyes to speak. There's strength there, but he doesn't look hard. It's a soft look, but it's an intentional look. The focus. It's a Mamba mentality.
Talk about when you're painting. When is it that you feel the emotion of what you're doing? Is it the beginning, middle, end?
Oh, the entire process. It's a stream of consciousness. So when I work on something, I especially like a mural like this, I see it through, and when it's done, it's done. I don't go back into it. It's just like running water, you know. Once I start, I just go.
What's the hardest part about doing a mural of somebody where you know people are going to look at that and say, this does or doesn't look like them? What's the hardest part?
Oh, that's every day. Every day I'm painting, someone. But in this particular case, I think I was, honestly, I wasn't conscious of the people looking at it. I painted this, even though I was painting it for the exhibition, I painted it prior to, like, earlier in the day before the opening. And it was nice because I got to almost have, like, my own dialogue with Kobe, my own closure, so to speak, with him through this mural that would get me until, you know, that I think was very therapeutic for me personally, just to paint it.
How so?
I think just, I'd been very emotional the last couple of weeks. And up to that point, it had been a week and a half. So I think kind of confronting the mural, painting it, and finding some beauty in it was therapeutic for me personally. But also great to be able to share my love for Kobe through the arts. And the thing about Kobe Bryant is, for me, we're obviously very saddened about his passing, but he brought us so many memorable moments that we were just, you know, up out of our chairs, screaming, happy, you know, very, very excited about that. You can't stay down too long because you're stoked on like, remember that game-winning shot for this? And you start reminiscing and you get really excited, and then people start chanting Kobe, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you see that all over. I was down at the memorial, right? At Staples Center outside, and all of a sudden I look over and people burst into Kobe, Kobe.
Yeah. And that's a testament to the joy he brought us. And then, you know, the reality sets in that he's no longer with us. And then you come down off that high, but you're not there too long because then, you know, you recall another one of the 20 years worth of experiences that he gave us.
So let me ask you two things. At the LA Art Show, when you then finally stepped back and looked at your beautiful creation, what did you think?
Thank you. Thanks, Kobe. Thank you for the... thank you for the memories. Thank you for the inspiration. And, you know, through my work, I try to, you know, I didn't really have too many art heroes. A lot of my creative inspirations always came from people who did other things.
Like
Kobe Bryant, you know, just the approach that he had towards, you know, sports, towards winning, towards driving yourself. I couldn't paint a 15-story mural by myself with a brush if we didn't intersect at some point. And I received a lot of inspiration from him along the way.
Tell me more about the mural on the high rise that's going to be finished this summer.
This mural is a celebration of Los Angeles, why we live and love in LA, really kind of a unifying theme. The themes are togetherness and our relationship to the city. It's a legacy mural, and I'm using people from the city of LA as part of storytellers to tell different stories in each section of the mural, and of course, Kobe Bryant's part of that.
So it's called Angelus, but I have
Angelus seen... with the U, because the take on the name is we are all Angelinos.
Spell it for me.
Like Angel Us.
Oh, I love that. And I know because I've been there to see you working there. You also include indigenous people, is that right?
Yes. The central figure is a native figure, representing the Tongva tribe. And the Tongva Indians are the first Angelinos. They're the natives that inhabited the LA Basin early on. So I actually invited them to come out and see the wall. And the tribal council had come out. The chief blessed my wall, blessed my hands, blew the conch shell, burned sage the day before I got started. And it really kind of set me on a course.
How special. I don't know if I ever told you this, but I lived on the Navajo Reservation.
Did you really?
Arizona. Yeah. It's a little known fact.
Wow. Yeah, I know you're from Arizona, but I didn't know you.
Yeah, my parents were educators, and so my dad seemed to take different jobs as a school principal. So he was the principal at Chinle High School, which Chinle's a community city on the Navajo Reservation in northern Arizona. So,
wow, that's
fascinating. Yeah, great appreciation for our indigenous people.
You just get cooler and cooler, Christine.
Go on. but then also your mural embraces the contributions of Latinos.
Yes. Yeah. I have... Oscar De La Hoya, who is modeling his arm, actually brought him up on the scaffold. And I'm just painting his arm, but he's on the Olympic committee that was instrumental in bringing the Olympics back to LA. Mm-hmm. And of course, as a gold medal winner, the golden boy, of course, coming from my side of the tracks where he's from, I thought it would be a perfect fit to uplift the Latin culture, as well as just a nod to the Olympic legacy, that the rich Olympic legacy that LA has. And I had already told him that when the 2028 Olympics come into town, and he hopefully is the one of the torchbearers, that he runs right in front of that wall.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
Wouldn't that be cool?
And where is it again, if these people want to drive by?
It's at the corner of 5th and Hill Street.
Downtown Los Angeles.
Downtown LA, across the street from Pershing Square. And that intersection is really unique because it's the flashpoint for every march, every protest that happens in the city. So the backdrop to all of these different movements is going to be Angeles. Mm-hmm. So I've taken that into consideration, and that's why the themes are so universal. And I want everyone to feel like when they look at this wall, there's something in it for them.
And you look down, there's a metro station right there.
Right. So when people come home from work or are visiting LA and for the first time and come into downtown, they're literally greeted by Angelus, which is towering right above them.
And we can't ignore, we obviously have a homeless crisis in Los Angeles.
Right.
You are friendly with the homeless population right in there. Yeah?
So friendly that one of the homeless ladies, an African-American lady that hangs out at that intersection, I befriended since I started painting the mural. And every morning we would kind of sit. There's a Starbucks across the street, and I'd have coffee, and I call it the breakfast club, me with the people who are just waking up at that corner. And we'd hang out, and they'd give me their critique about the wall and what they thought.
And it's not just sports people.
No. So this lady, I started talking to her, and I was going to be painting angels on the wall. But when I think about angels, angels aren't typically painted to look like someone of color. So here's someone who doesn't have hope, who is living on the streets of downtown LA, and I asked to model for me as an angel. So now this homeless woman is now a beacon of hope above Angelus.
So you're painting on this 14-story high-rise with the windows and all. How do you incorporate the windows into...
I have to think about the lines going through windows in my head so that they continue on the other side of that window. And these windows are really tricky because they're the old factory windows that actually push out. So as I'm going up the wall, I have to look up as well as look down just in case someone happened to open their window. I have to close the window as I go up. And then as I'm coming down, I have to reach over with my leg and close the window.
Oh, wow.
As I'm coming
down.
Be
careful.
Absolutely. Safety
so
first.
When are you going to start painting the part with Kobe?
I am going to actually start painting that in the next couple of weeks. I have to finish the panel that I'm currently working on, but part of his body is going to be in the current panel that I'm painting. And when I move over to the next panel, then I'll include the other half.
And how long will his part take?
Well, I'm charged, so I think that I think I could get his section done in a couple of weeks.
So you're on this window washer type platform painting Kobe Bryant on this high rise. People are going to watch it come to life here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everyone can be a part of it and see this happen. They're at 5th and Hill Street. It's going to be something special. And for us Angelinos that grew up with Kobe and know Kobe the way, you know, we all feel like we know Kobe, I think it's going to be great. But without him not wearing a Laker jersey, I think we'll also speak to his transcendence from not only a sports figure, but an ambassador of the city.
So when somebody's there standing on the ground, they look up at this high rise and they see Kobe Bryant that you painted, what do you want them to feel or take away?
I want them to feel empowered. I want them to feel strength when they look at this wall. And honestly, whether you're from Los Angeles or not from Los Angeles, you look at this wall, I want you to feel proud. And Kobe's part in this mural is one that I think it will inspire us. You know, he's in this pose with his arms up in victory. yeah, victory.
Did you go down at all to the makeshift memorial that was? So this was set up outside Staples Center right after the helicopter crash for several days. Maybe it was a week or so. People could go down. The tremendous amount of flowers and basketballs and shoes and photos and stuffed animals and walls that people could sign their autographs. Now, you're from Los Angeles.
Yeah, I could walk there. I was there. I lived three blocks from there.
Could you ever imagine something like that?
You know, I've lived there in downtown when Michael Jackson's funeral had happened. And I remember walking over there the night before and just kind of, I was working late in my studio and I just thought, you know what, let me walk over there and see what's going on. Nothing like what I saw with Kobe. There was definitely a media frenzy preparing for the memorial service, but nothing like what happened with Kobe. I think people... It was interesting how the collective consciousness was to go straight to Staples Center. Like, they just knew that was where to go. And I thought it was really great of the city to allow this to take place. I know that people were writing on the ground and placing flowers there. I think allowing the city to grieve in that way was a smart move. And it was powerful. I went there right after your newscast. I was watching your newscast that night on Sunday, and I went straight there just to get a little closer to it.
So obviously that memorial has been cleaned up, the items packaged up for the family, but your mural is going to live on. I'll use the word forever.
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 It's a world record mural that will live on forever. Guinness World Record. So, I mean, if Kobe's going to be on a mural, he's going to be on a Guinness World Record mural. So how cool is that?
I love that. And I think that's a great way to end the podcast. So, Robert Vargas, thank you for being on Voices of the People here, our podcast, remembering and reflecting on Kobe Bryant. And I thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you for having me.
We leave you with the song Wings as we take a moment to honor all nine on board that helicopter that crashed in Calabasas, California on January 26, 2020, on the way to Kobe Bryant's Mamba Academy. Those names are John, Alyssa, and Carrie Altobelli, Sarah and Peyton Chester, Christina Mauser, Era Zobayan, Kobe Bryant, and his daughter Gianna. Anyone wishing to donate to a fund set up for the families can donate to mambaon3.org. Wings is by singer Tim Johnson Jr. We'll hear his story on another episode of this podcast series, Voices of the People, Kobe Bryant Remembered. You give me wings to fly.